In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot of meaning in today's gospel. It is not just about feeding the multitudes with physical food, with physical bread, with physical fish, because obviously there wasn't enough, but there's great importance because every evangelist that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will talk about the feeding of the multitudes, whether it's the 5,000 or the 7,000, and the number of loaves might be a little bit different. But when I read this, every time I read this, I think, are we really just talking about physically nourishing our body? Because every time I read this, I think, well, it's important to be strong, to be able to be a fool for Christ, but yet we're always taught the real banquet will be in the kingdom of heaven. That through prayer and fasting is the means to the kingdom of heaven. So, as I listened to the words and read it last night again, and I read it this morning, I thought, wait a minute. Our Lord talks in many, many parables. He talks to teach. And this must be very, very, very important if He brings it up again and does it again and does it again. What we can take from the gospel is this is about what we're about to receive. In about 20 minutes, we'll receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Eucharist, the preparation of it. It's not about loaves of bread that He's delivering amongst us. It's not about two fish. It is about life everlasting. Because even when He said this, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh after me shall never be hungry, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But He gives it in terms we can understand. He gives it in terms of the banquet. And are we prepared to take that? At that time, this is when He lost many multitudes. The Jews walked away, they left. When He said, eat of my flesh and drinketh of my blood, they left. But again, all four evangelists, he realized the importance. All the evangelists realized the importance of it. And what is such a beautiful thing about this is that we have five loaves of bread and two fish. And all of a sudden, there was plenty for us to eat. Plus, at the end, 12 baskets left over. These 12 baskets that are left over can be our ununderstanding. What Christ knows, we're unable to consume. But yet, who picked them up but the apostles? Disciples at the time. Not to become apostles until Pentecost. But what did that mean? So there was leftovers. There's always leftovers. But these aren't leftovers. This is knowledge that we have not yet and will not potentially be able to understand. But this is the teaching of our church where your priest, Father Fred, holds that basket of knowledge to bring to you every day of your life, to hold on to you, to make sure it's deep inside of your heart, teaching you, teaching how he gave the five loaves of Prosphora, Jesus Christ, to his bishops to be administered across the multitudes, across all the lands, to be consecrated every Sunday morning. And the five loaves he starts out with in his prayerful life so that we may also be in the kingdom, enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is what your priest does. This was a blessing down from the Father, and his prayers go on in you, for you. Your priest, as he was ordained to go across the land with his five loaves of bread, making sure that everyone can taste of immortality if they so choose to. But why doesn't he just say that? Is it irrational to think, for Jesus to think that we can understand everything he's teaching us? How important the Eucharistic life in him is? No. It's extra rational. It's super rational. It is so rational because he knows how small but beautiful our minds are and how short of a life we have to complete our understanding in the faith and love of Jesus Christ that he allows it through bread and fish and teachings. And he allows those that can take his word and pray for you outside of your own understanding and to be an instrument to complete baptism, taking you right back to the 1 Corinthians with St. Paul this morning, where he did. First time I read that, I thought, wow, St. Paul, that's pretty bold, don't you think? I didn't baptize you. It's not what I'm here for. Hello? But then I thought, wait a minute. It's to allow us to understand the gospel. St. Paul was here to preach the gospel so we could understand what it means to be in the Eucharistic life, to attain the kingdom of heaven. For why else was Jesus Christ crucified? So that he can tell us all, no, that he's better than us? No, for us. But it is about partaking in the sacramental life of the church that we're all blessed to receive. Christ is the living bread. He will live forever. Because as you see, with a little bit of water and a little bit of dough, we'll always have bread. And that is a comprehension that we'll have. And we know that there is a second coming because it is foretold. And we know that that second coming can be very scary, but yet, what were we told to do? We were given a simple prayer to remember, but a very complex prayer to live in. So every Sunday when we come to the banquet, do we come prepared? Do we come as prepared if we're asked on Saturday night to show up at a football game with an appetizer and a 12-pack of Pepsi? Do we come with our hearts open, a joyous look on our face to partake in the resurrection and the Eucharistic body of Christ? Have we changed our understanding of what it means to prepare for the Eucharist? Do we fast if we can? Do we pray if we can? Do we immerse ourselves in the pre-communion prayers and post-communion prayers of the Eucharistic life of this church and of the Church of Christ? Because that's what this is. The reason we're together, we all can pray. But it is also to be fed as the 5,000 were fed. Not with bread and wine, but with the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the attainment of the kingdom of heaven. For when he comes back, do we want to say, it was hard. My stomach was empty. I'm getting the kids ready, so I can't get my prayers in. But I should still take communion. Right? I can really tell God that I'm sorry, and he'll forgive me before I go up. So why do I need confession, repentance, and repentance? What is this? This is not something I need. Because really, isn't partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ symbolic anyways? I can taste the sweetness of the wine, but oh, taste and see how sweet it is in the Lenten prayers and hymns we sing. This is our entrance, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my fellow workers in the vineyard. When he comes again, do we want to say, you know how hard it is, my Lord, but I love you. And thank you for giving me your body. I'm sorry I wasn't prepared. But, you know, if I go to a buffet, I gotta save my appetite because that costs my family money. So why not go hungry to Christ's table? Just a thought. So I urge all of us to remember our preparation and our practicing purposes and the life of the church. Because really, we could stay home this morning and pray. The reason we come together is for the sacramental life of the church. Because we cannot be immersed in the sacramental life of the church without each other. We celebrate this, maybe not often enough, maybe we don't see it enough. But we come around to this beautiful blessing of the five loaves many times throughout the year in a service called the Lytia. Father will come with his analogion and have a blessing of five loaves of bread, wine, oil, maybe combined with a paraclesis, because we know the great power and the healing it is in this service and the immortality we taste through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we approach the chalice, be hungry today. Have a fervor to have an understanding of what it was and why it was done many, many times. And understand that our Lord understands the ability of our minds, and that we do not and will not always completely comprehend the teaching of the gospel, but that is why His apostles had ordained your priest from generation to generation to generation. So your priest can carry the leftover baskets of bread and pieces of bread that were talked about in today's gospel. And so that you can have an understanding of Paul and his preachings of the gospel. And that's why you hear Paul every Sunday. So that we don't come apart as a church. So that we don't lose and reinterpret and change the ideas of the Orthodox faith that was handed down from the age of the apostles. This is so important. And the life Christ asks us to live, that He gave us His prayer, known as the perfect prayer, known as the Lord's Prayer, full of meaning, full of life, the roadmap that we need. It's as simple as the Lord's Prayer. Many of us wear ropes on our arms, say the Jesus Prayer in a time of trouble. We can also utilize the prayer that was given to the apostles when they asked. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven. Isn't that great? All as we have to do is partake in the sacramental life of the church. All we have to do is prepare ourselves for the Holy Eucharist. And we get to say, Our Father, who art in heaven. At a time before he allowed this and blessed us to say this. This, in fact, possibly would have been against a commandment by taking a God. By listening to Jesus Christ tell us, we can say, this is our God that we're going to pray to. It's not God himself coming down and talking to him like he did Moses. But is it because our God is only in heaven and we're allowed to do this? No. It is through the dogma of the church. It is because God is omnipotent. God is everywhere. Heaven is everywhere. The attainment of thy holy and heavenly kingdom. Hallowed be thy name. How many of us would not want our Father's name to be immortalized? To know, be known for great things. So the Heavenly Father is known, just as we have an understanding that I want my Father to be known for good things, not to be known after his passing or here on this earth. You turned out okay, considering. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Prepare today for what is to come. You do not know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. Be prepared. Just as don't let your lamp be half full and burn out. Remember, every morning when you wake up, you get to say, God willing, thank God I can stand up. If I know nothing else to say, I am going to say the prayer you gave to the apostles because it must be right. Give us this day our daily bread. Is that the five loaves? No, this is the heavenly bread. This is a different bread. This is a bread that you will get to partake of in the heavenly kingdom, providing you partake of the Holy Eucharist in its fullness on the earth today. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. We can't do it alone, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I rely on you to get into the heavenly kingdom. I cannot have anything in my heart malice toward any one of you. And expect my Father to forgive my sins if I can't forgive yours. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The devil is working. Everywhere we step, we're being worked on to not like our brother, to not be nice to our brother, to take something. Don't consume yourselves in earthly riches, because there's always going to be someone there to steal it. There's always going to be someone there to want what you have, to pull you down. This is the devil. This is why he is not at the right hand of the Father. His jealousy. Don't let jealousy overcome you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Ever and ever and ever. Beyond our comprehension. For remember, the kingdom is a righteous place. It is full of. It is not just of food. It's not just of feeding ourselves. It's not of not worrying of sin anymore. It's about being righteous, peace, joy, and of the Holy Spirit. To the end of time, run to it. Because how we live on this life is how we'll be judged. How we open our hearts and how we run to the sacramental life of the church is how we can attain the kingdom of heaven. And it is through a prayerful life we can say on the day of judgment, thank you, Lord, for allowing me into thy holy and heavenly kingdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.